Good morning, everybody. Last day, so thanks for making it and staying the whole time. I have nothing to disclose. It's like if you die, get murdered or something, all it is they have another girl taking their place. That's all it is. These are the words of a patient from my health center who understood how much her life mattered. In Congress, in 2000, Congress passed legislation legally defining human trafficking. The definitions of the Victims of Trafficking and Violence Protection Act of 2000 have been reauthorized four more times. It is sex trafficking, which is a commercial sex act induced by force, fraud, or coercion, or in which the person is induced to perform an act who is not yet 18 years old. Second, it's labor trafficking, the recruitment, harboring, transportation, provision, or obtaining of a person for labor or services through the use of force, fraud, or coercion for the purposes of involuntary servitude, peonage, debt bondage, or slavery. I wanted to give those definitions. Some of you might not be familiar with them. So this is Asian Health Services, a federally qualified health center in Oakland, California, where I work. Asian Health Services is a typical FQHC in that it is deeply rooted in the community and has a long history of advocacy on behalf of its patients. One night in 2008, a patient came to the clinic very, very sick. She had a high fever, rashes all over her body, swollen joints everywhere, could barely walk, and she had lost 30 pounds over the past 3 months. She was really, really sick. And I told her, I said, hey, I need to send you to the hospital. And she absolutely refused. She refused because she told me, I'd rather die than go back to jail. I'd rather die than go back to jail. On a previous hospitalization, BK was discharged to jail because there was a bench warrant for her failure to show up to court on charges of solicitation. BK did not go to the ER that night. Historically, human trafficking has been addressed and responded to through the criminal justice system with the goal of prosecuting traffickers. The healthcare system has played a secondary role with the goal of healing victims. BK, who was only 15, really needed medical treatment, but she didn't get it. The justice system sometimes treats victims as criminals, and this prevented BK from getting the treatment that she needed. So I'm going to talk to you today about my policy practicum at Harvard last year, which I just finished in May of this year. My organizational partner was the Association of Asian Pacific Community Health Organizations, which is a national policy organization focused on Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and other Pacific Islanders, or AAPIs for short. Both I and Asian Health Services have a long history of working with APCHO to advocate for underserved populations. Some examples, we've worked together on mobilizing the community to pass the Affordable Care Act, developing a national research agenda, and we recently just published a journal in March on AAPIs in the AAPI Nexus. And these are my two partners that I worked with, Jeff and Isha. They are also authors on this presentation, but they couldn't be here today. So our project goals were to help shift care for victims of human trafficking from the criminal justice realm to the healthcare sector, particularly the FQHCs. FQHCs are the safety net in the United States. And secondly, to enable the FQHC delivery system to serve patients who have been trafficked. My methods were to review the literature, to understand the scope, etc., between healthcare delivery and human trafficking, directed interviews with key federal and community stakeholders, some of whom are on this esteemed panel today and in the room, to understand the baseline interests, programs, and goals, and meetings and discussions with APCHO on human trafficking to understand their organizational priorities and to help them develop and implement strategy. So our findings, The literature shows that there are an estimated 21 million people worldwide affected. In the United States, an estimated 100,000 to 300,000 children are at risk annually of being sex trafficked. And in 2004, the largest group of people trafficked into the United States were of Asian and Pacific Islander origin, one-third of the estimated total. So think about the conditions that people are in, and you get an idea of the health harms of human trafficking. Under captivity, people are deprived of health care and food. They're socially restricted. They're coerced into drug addiction. They're forced into dangerous, dirty, and degrading working conditions and living conditions. And they're subject to all forms of abuse. The health harms fall into three categories: physical harms, mental health harms, and social harms. So I want to focus a little bit more on the social context, the larger social context. There are social determinants that predispose people into being trafficked. And there are also downstream social harms from the policies we have that affect these patients, including stigmatization and criminalization. Remember my patient BK, I'd rather die than go back to jail. So the literature also shows that FQHCs can help care for victims of human trafficking. Victims do access health care. One study of survivors showed that while in captivity, almost 88% had encountered any type of health care provider, and 57% had visited a clinic. Two other studies show that 28 to 50% had encountered a health care professional while being trafficked. None of these survivors were identified as being trafficked in these surveys. So can a healthcare provider find out if someone is being trafficked? A study that I published with colleagues in April shows that if we ask patients using a screening tool for commercial sexual exploitation, thanks, honey, they will disclose their exploitation in the FQHC setting. So yes, victims can be identified in a healthcare setting. And finally, there are models. There are now models of care and FQHCs popping up all over the country. Once identified, there are ways for healthcare to respond. So for my project, these are our key stakeholders. We start at the bottom here with APCHO and the FQHCs on the community side. On the federal side, so all these gray boxes, the federal side. On the federal side, I want to start with the Administration for Children and Families. And we have Dr. Rochelle Rollins here representing them today. We're very lucky to have her. The ACF is key because it's responsible for the victims' services goals in a federal strategic action plan from the United States government on human trafficking. Next, the Office of Women's Health, out of the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health. They're key because they provided ACF with funding to develop a healthcare and human trafficking training. Dr. Rollins will talk more about that in her presentation. And many of the people, there are several people in this room who have helped to inform that. And on the HRSA side, Health Resources and Services Administration side, we have the Bureau of Primary Health Care, which provides funding to the FQHCs and APCHO, as well as the Office of Women's Health, which has an interest and is a great supporter of this issue, and also works closely with Office of Women's Health out of OASH. And we have the Office of Health Equity, which provides the representative from HRSA on the Federal Strategic Action Plan. And finally, we have the White House Initiative on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, which APCHO has a very close relationship with. APCHO and I also recognize that Asians and Pacific Islanders are not the only vulnerable group that are affected. So we reached out to other national organizations to get their buy-in and support, specifically the Migrant Clinicians Network and the National Healthcare for the Homeless Council. So these were our key stakeholders. I want to highlight a key role of the ACF, and Dr. Rollins will probably talk more about that later. This is the Federal Strategic Action Plan on Human Trafficking, and ACF is responsible for carrying out the victim services goals, as well as they develop the SOAR training. So they're very key, and they're doing wonderful work in this area. We had a lot of great outcomes from this policy project. I developed with APCHO a policy brief with recommendations for HRSA. Those recommendations were to hold a healthcare and human trafficking summit for the FQHCs, co-sponsored with other agencies, hopefully ACF, and hopefully some of you in the room. Second, to develop a new or utilize an existing national cooperative agreement on human trafficking for the FQHCs. And actually, this one worked. We were granted, APTUA was granted new flexibility to include human trafficking in their existing national cooperative agreement. This is huge because it means that the FQHCs now have an FQHC representative organization which can help them with these areas, with this issue. Third, to issue a program assistant letter to all of the FQHCs nationwide. And fourth, the one that I'm most passionate about and most concerned about is developing funded pilot programs within the FQHCs for integrated healthcare for victims of human trafficking. And this includes prevention measures. This just in, this is their finalized policy brief. It just got published and released on October 30th. Last week, we have, there's the two links up there, and we also have an educational brief for the FQHCs. If you want it, I have it, I can email it to you, or you can get it online, go to the APTUA's website, or use these links. Raising awareness. I was really happy about this one, because I worked with Dr. Rollins, and we conducted a training for the federal partners using an adapted SOAR curriculum. That happened in May. That's online as well. These were our training co-sponsors. We also raised some awareness to the media. I told you about the research article that I had published with colleagues. This is it. We also issued a press release. The press release was intended for targeted partners, specifically our federal partners. So maybe we should call it a federal release instead of a press release. We also wrote an op-ed in the Honolulu Star Advertiser. There was a White House Initiative Policy Summit on May 12th. We had tried valiantly through many different channels to get the secretary to insert comments. It reached her ears, but it didn't make it to the lips. But the comments were and the issue were raised in secretaries through many channels. We also expanded our coalition with new partners, the Migrate Clinicians Network, National Healthcare for the Homeless Council, shared information. And finally, what are the future directions of these policies? Anyone know what happened on April 22nd? No, okay. Attorney General Loretta Lynch was confirmed, and she's confirmed because legislation was passed on human trafficking. And the Senate Bill 178, Justice for Victims of Trafficking Act of 2015, was passed. There are two issues that I see with this policy. One being that money for healthcare for victims of human trafficking is being taken out of the FQHC fund. So they're taking it away, and they're putting it under Attorney General control. So they're taking it away from healthcare system and putting it under the Justice Department. That's an issue for me. Remember what I said, we want to go the other way. And we don't know if FQHCs are included, so perhaps we'll find out more from our federal partners later. So finally, BK, what happened to her that night? Well, the next day, we sent out our community partners and we found her. We sent her to the hospital. She was in the hospital for 2 months. When she was stabilized and able to be discharged, guess where she was discharged to? Jail, right? So we have a lot more work to do, and I hope you will join us in that work, and thank you very much.